ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الرجال قوامون على النساء، قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected sisters and mothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an easy deen to follow, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a perfect deen to follow, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The deen of Islam is complete. The deen of Islam is easy. The deen of Islam is natural. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a pattern of conduct to follow by way of following Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we look around us, then we will know there are various creations of Allah. We get what we call the jamadat. The jamadat are the mountains and the vegetations and all that is on the surface of the earth. Now if we have to ask the jamadat, and if we have to give the jamadat the ability to speak, for example, if we have to give the jamadat, the mountains, the ability to speak, and we ask them that what have you been created for, they will say that no, we have been created to serve the nabatat. And the nabatat are the vegetation and the crops and the harvest. Now if you look at the fruit, the trees, the crops, the harvest, and if we have to interview them and give them power of speech, and we have to ask the vegetation, the fruit and the crops, that what have you been created for? Then they will say, the crops, the vegetation, the grass and the harvest, they will say, we have been created to serve the hayawanat, the animals. The animals eat us, and the animals feed off us, and the animals take benefit from us. The animals meaning the haywan, and this will include the human being, the Muslim and the non-Muslim, the male and the female, the believer and the non-believer, the obedient and the disobedient. They will say that we have been here to take benefit from the vegetation, from the crops. Now when we interview the human being, and if we have to ask the human being, then what have you been created for? Then we will get two different answers. One is from the believer, the Muslim, and one is from the non-believer, the non-Muslim. The non-Muslim, far as he is concerned, he is here to live, to enjoy, to have pleasure, to do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, without reason, without cause, just to do everything. He feels he got no accountability, no one to have a day of judgment. The non-Muslim feels he is not in need of any laws or rules or regulation. He does not have to be governed or disciplined. But the Muslim will say, no, I am here for a set purpose. I am here to worship Allah. I am here to obey Allah. I am here to please Allah. I am here to see that I conform to the laws of Allah. I am here to see that I adhere to the rules and regulations of Allah. I am here so that I attain my Rabb's pleasure. And the Muslim will say that I will do this in conformity to the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever Allah wants, I will do. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants, I will do. So the Muslim has got a direction, and the Muslim has got a way of life, and the Muslim has got a pattern of life to conform to, and the Muslim is certain that his law is demarcated, the parameters are demarcated. Then, respected sisters, we have to face a reality that we have got the Muslim man, the Muslim male, and the Muslim female. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His wisdom, has created the Muslim male for a certain purpose. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the Muslim female for a certain purpose. You and I know that Allah is all wise. Allah is our creator. Allah is our Rabb. Allah is our provider. Allah is our sustainer. Allah is our maker who knows us. Allah knows what is best for us. Allah knows why He created us. And Allah knows what capabilities He has put for us. And Allah knows what capabilities He has put in us. Therefore, now when we look at Islamic history and we look at the history of mankind, then we come to know that Allah has chosen man for certain positions. Allah has chosen the male for certain responsibilities. And Allah has given the male the certain duties to go by. And Allah has given the female a certain role. And Allah has given the female certain activities to do. We accept that Allah has given nubuwwat only to males. Allah has given risalat only to males. Meaning, in very simple words, that all the Nabis that came, 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam, they were all males. They were all male Rasuls, messengers of Allah, apostles of Allah, prophets of Allah. They were all male. There was no female Nabi, no female Rasul. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the responsibility of imamat, the imamat of the masjid, to the males and not to the females. Now when we analyze and when we look at risalat and nabuwat, then the wisdom behind this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the male the responsibility and the duty of nabuwat and risalat, because the Nabi has to go out of his house and go and propagate. The Nabi and the Rasul must go out of his house, tent to tent, town to town, and he must go and preach and propagate and uplift the Tawheed concept. And he must preach to the people. He must talk to them. He must intermingle with the people. He must engage in congregational activity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give the female this responsibility, that you go out now and you start talking to the people, you start mixing with the people, you start intermingling with the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the dignity of the lady and said that she must stay at home and she must preserve the home and she must protect the chastity at home. She must preserve her dignity at home. Similarly, imamat. Now can you imagine that the imam of the local masjid, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shariat of Islam is saying that the imam must be a male. Now if we have to say no, there has to be freedom and there has to be liberalization and there has to have freedom of women, and now the woman will become the imam. Now can you imagine the chaos that the local imam now is no more the man and the lady is going to go and make imamah. Now can you imagine the haram imam being a female? Can you imagine the Medina imam being a female? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shariat is saying no, that the female is not supposed to be the imam. Why? Because this entails coming out of the house. This means coming out of the house and going and engaging in congregational activity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom has protected the female and said, no, that you must stay at home, protect yourself, protect your dignity, your chastity, your position, your status, and you have got a different role to play. Similarly, Khilafat, the four Khalifs, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now the Khilafat did not go in the hands of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Zaidab radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Why? Because the understanding of Shariat and the spirit of Shariat is that the Khilafat, the male must do it. He has to go out, he has to mix with the people, he has to talk to them, he has to do political activity, economical administration and social activities. The female, her role is within the confines of her house, and that is where her dignity lies and that is where her position lies. Similarly, in the Shariat of Islam, that Juma Salat is not obligatory upon the female. Yes, Jihad is also not obligatory upon the female, and Eidain is not obligatory upon the female. That the ladies do not have to go for Eid Salat, the ladies do not have to go for Juma Salat, and the ladies do not have to go for Jihad. In the initial stages of Islam, we will come across narrations that the ladies were going for jihad. And what they were doing in jihad, they were helping their mihrams. They were not going everywhere and walking around in the battlefield. They were helping the mihrams. When the husband got hurt, they were bandaging them. When the brother got hurt, they were attending to him. Or they were passing arrows. And they were passing weapons to their fathers, their brothers, their mihrams. But Islamic history tells us that as soon as Islam expanded and Islam became strong, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went out in the battle and he left all the women in Medina. He left all the women in Medina. He did not take them. Why? Because now the woman must not go out in jihad, because it is not necessary. That was emergency situation where they had to go out in jihad. One person cannot say now that there it is in the hadith, ladies were going out to battle. And then they will ask the Mufti that can the woman go for army training? Why? Because of their lack of understanding of Islam. There the lady was going out in jihad out of emergency. And if there is a situation of emergency now, then again the ladies will go out in jihad. Only emergency. And their role will be limited. So respected sisters, understand that Allah has created the man with a specific role and the female with a specific role. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put no pressure upon the female. Because remember, responsibility of nabuwat is a pressure. Responsibility of risalat is pressure. Responsibility of khilafat is pressure. Responsibility of imamat is pressure. Responsibility of jihad is pressure. responsibility of going for Eid and for Jummah is pressure that you have to get ready and go. And you know as ladies that most of the time the menfolk are running late for Eid and running late for Jummah. Now can you imagine if the whole household has to now go for Jummah and Eid? Can you imagine the chaos? Then also, that following our thought that the man Muslim has been created for a set role and the female Muslim has been created for a set role, that in the Shariat of Islam, the male gives the azan. Can you imagine now if in some masjid they decide, no, the female is going to go give azan. Then maybe that masjid becomes full, not because of the azan, but because the lady is giving the azan. So respected sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the females a dignified role, a specified dignified role. That is why you will notice also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Amir of the Hajj and the Deputy Imam and the Deputy Amir of the Hajj all are males. From the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a Hajj Amir. Prior to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing the only Hajj, which we generally call as the farewell Hajj, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu as the Amir of Hajj. And he subsequently sent Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to make an announcement in Hajj. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the official Amir of Hajj, first official Amir of Hajj. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself went as Amir of Hajj. From that time up to now, there is an Amir of Hajj. And the Amir of Hajj, he gives the khutbah in Masjid Namira on the day of Arafat. Every year he gives the khutbah there. So the lady is not given that responsibility, because this is meaning coming out, mixing with people, congregating. And Allah does not want to put the lady, the female, into any form of any difficulty. Because there is no difficulty. La haraja fi deen. There is no difficulty in deen. And the lady has to maintain her dignity and chastity in the house, not come outside and spoil her character, personality, dignity or chastity. Similarly, that the khutbah, the Jummah khutbah, the Eid khutbah, and the Hajj khutbah is given all by males, not by females. Because Allah has given the male a different role and the female a definitely a different role. Now when we come closer and look, that the contract of marriage, it lies in the hands of the male. And marriage to more than one wife lies in the control of the male. And the power and to give divorce and the choice of divorce lies in the hands of the male. And maintaining the family, that means providing for the family, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says clearly in the Quran, الرِّجَالُونَ قَوَامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, that men are the guardians of the female, men are the supervisors of the female, men are the well-wishers of the female, men are the custodians of the female, men are the providers for the female. And in that very same ayat, Allah explains the reason. He says because of the superiority of the preference Allah has given the male over the female. And the second reason, that the male has to provide for the female. But unfortunately, our present day education system and our present day Western culture and our present day system is saying, no, the female must be free, and the female must work, and the female must provide, and the female must run the house, and the female must come out of the house, and the female must go and provide. Now, because we have opted and we have adapted to the system of the West, that is why the chaos and the divorce and the social problem and the rape and all the fornication and the adultery arises. Why? Allah has given the specific role for the male and Allah has given a specific role for the female, and we want to interchange that role. And when we want to interchange the role, that we are going against the order of Allah. We are going against the pattern of Allah. We are going against the spirit of the Sharia. As a result, the chaos is resulting. And the man, he is free from any restrictions. For example, he does not have any menstruation, whereas the female has menstruation. And the man does not have any nifas, that means discharge of blood after birth. The female has that. And the male do not tend to babies or deliver babies, and do not have to breastfeed the babies, whereas the female has to do that. And the man is counted as one in the witness box, whereas the female, she is counted, has to have two in the witness box. And the male has the status and the ability and the capacity to protect the female. Now we have to face reality. It is no use being like an ostrich and hiding our head away. We have to face this sheer reality that Allah has created the male with certain qualities, and Allah has created the male with certain responsibilities, and Allah has created the female with certain responsibilities. And physically, morally, bodily, psychologically, there is differences between the male and the female. In the light of hadith, in a clear hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the female has deficiency in deen and deficiency in intelligence. Now, this may sound strong. Why? Because the Western media is saying that no, in Islam, that the male is so superior and the female is very inferior, and they present the concept of parda and they present the concept of hijab like a jail. So what happens, unfortunately, that the female feels, yes, I'm supposed to be free. I must discard the hijab. I must not cover my face. I must leave the cloak. I must run around naked. I must go out in the public. I must go out and earn. And why? In the name of freedom. Now, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have said that the female has got deficiency in deen. Obviously, because when the female is menstruating and having periods, she does not fast. And she does not perform a salah. She cannot make tawaf. So obviously there is a deficiency. And as far as intelligence, the order of the Sharia is that for every two females witness, there is a male witness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such. Why? Because the responsibility of the male is different and the responsibility of the female is different. Witnesses, we have two women equal to one man. And the female does not pray in the state of menstruation haze. The female does not pray in the state of nifas. And the female does not fast in the state of nifas and haze. And the females, as explained earlier on, that they deliver babies and breastfeed their children, their offspring. And they stay long nights awake, looking at their children. The man, he cannot look after the babies as well as the female. The female, the mother is the mother. She will tend to the child. She will clean the child. She will nurse the child. She will attend to the child. No matter how late the hour is, the female, the mother, will attend to the child. Whereas the male is hopeless, and the male is helpless. And in fact, the male does not have the capability of looking after the child. And the male may get angry and may get edgy to look after the child, to clean the child. Simple example, the child has to change, have to have a nappy change. The female will do this part of a duty, part of a responsibility. She will do it smilingly. She will do it voluntarily. She will do it happily. But the man, he won't go even near there. Because the man is not designed to do that. And the female is designed with love in the heart, is designed with affectionate in the heart, is designed with sympathy in the heart. And the female is designed to look after the baby, to bring up the baby, to tend to the youth. And the female has got temperaments. When they experience the nifas or the haze, then become edgy or get mixed feelings and varied modes or patterns of behavior. Now if we look at it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the man with a different role, the female with different role. Because physically the man is different from the female. Intellectually the man is different from the female. Biologically the man is different from the female. Psychologically the man is different from the female. So when Allah has created man different and female different, therefore Allah has created the role of the man to be different and the role of the female to be different. Now when we have psychological differences, we have natural differences, we have capability differences, we have characteristic differences, therefore the role of the male has to be different and the female has to be different. The females are more soft, they have delicate qualities and they have femininity, whereas the man, he's supposed to be masculine, he's supposed to go and look for work, sustain for the family, provide for the family, look after the family. And the males have to display strength, vigor, ability to kill or be killed, superior in knowledge and action, and they have the ability to go and do congregational activities, supposed to have more insight and foresight, and they have to be protectors, defenders, guardians and custodians of the woman. Now, respected sisters, Allah has created the Muslim man and the Muslim female, different in from all angles, and also has given the Muslim man different role and the Muslim female different role. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran Kareem, وَقُرْ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, addressing the females, Allah is saying clearly that stay in your homes, meaning be within the confines of your homes and do not display the fineries like how they should display the fineries in the day of Jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance. Here, the order, although addressed to the wives of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is a general order, meaning the order is for all the females generally, so that they maintain their chastity, their dignity, their honor, their izzat in their homes, in the confines of their homes. But now we have got certain difficulties, because the cry is for freedom. The cry is from the Western world for equality. Everyone wants to know the man must be equal to the female. The man and the female must do the same jobs. And in the process of female equality and female freedom, if we look across the whole world, that few females have become now prime ministers or ministers or holding some important posts. So Mufti Taqi Osmani, the chief justice of Pakistan and the son of Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, says that due to the outcry of equality and freedom, if we have to take an international survey, then we'll see only few ladies have got important posts. The rest of the ladies have become commercial commodity products. Why? Now the man, what he is doing, in order to become lazy, he does not want to provide for the house, he said, no, the female must come and provide. And this is grossly unfair upon the female. And respected sister, that listen carefully to what I have got to say, and you go back and analyze it. Go back and put it down on paper and think about it carefully. That the man, out of the outcry for freedom and equality, what he has done to the female? He has taken the female out of the house. Now the poor lady, the weak lady, the female, feeble lady, what she has to do nowadays? That she must provide breakfast for her children, then she must take the car and take the children to school, then she must come back and provide breakfast for the husband who has got up from the lengthy sleep without making fajr. Then after that, the husband goes to the shop, followed by the lady. The wife is gone to the shop. Then she must now run around doing the wife's and the husband's work, and she is now like a common packer. She is like a common attendant in the shop. She is like a clerk. And when the driver drives the car, he's driver. We call him driver of the car. And when the lady, the wife, drives the car, then you say, my missus is driving the car, and my wife is driving the car. And why? Because it suits us to use them, to drive the car and to make them do all this work. Then, come lunchtime, she must prepare lunch for the husband. Then come in the afternoon, she must tend to the children, provide meal for them. Come in the evening, she must provide supper for the husband. And come now in the latter part of the night, she must satisfy the husband's natural needs. Now look what the freedom has done. That this lady, which Islam wants to stay at home and protect her chastity, her dignity, now she has become the slave of mankind. She has become, in the name of freedom, the slave of the husband. She is taking 6-7 roles. She's become driver. She's become clerk. She's become packer. She's become cook. And she's become wife. She's become the nanny. And she's doing all the outside work and the inside work. Why? Because we have not understood the concept that Allah has created the man for the outside work and Allah has created the female for the inside work. Now when we have not understood this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us into difficulty. What's the difficulties? You do not want to do one work at home. Go outside and do now 8 work. Go and work now. From morning to the evening, work and work and work. Eventually what happens we see in society, that because that the female cannot fulfill her husband's natural right, then divorce results. And the husband is being oppressive here. And the woman folk, you should realize this, that the husbands are using you. And Islam does not want you to slog for your husband, that go out and do all this work. And Islam does not want you to go out and sweat for the world. And Islam does not want you to go and slave. So Mufti Taqi Osmani adds one another point, interesting one. He says that what queer philosophy and queer logic is this of the Western world, that when the lady stays in a house and if the husband gets a few guests, then if the lady prepares a meal, then the world says that this is slavery. That how can the lady prepare some meal for the husband's guest? And how can the man tell the lady, tell the wife that she must prepare for her guest? This is oppressiveness. This is suppressing the rights of the lady. And this is being unjust to the lady. But that very same lady, in the call of freedom, you made her air hostess. And then she is feeding 300, 400 people. And that is regarded as culture. That is regarded as civilization. That is regarded as freedom. And that is regarded as very good and very attractive. So yeah, to feed the husband's guest, that is regarded as oppressiveness. And to feed 300 passengers on the air as an air hostess, that is regarded as civilization. Another thought that crosses our mind, that no, you see, I have to go out as a female and educate myself. And I must go. And I must go to college. I must go to university. And I must go and educate myself, higher education. Why? The reasoning, the rationale behind this is very simple. They say, you see, my daughter, if I don't educate my daughter, and then she gets married, what happens if my son-in-law dies? What will happen if my son-in-law dies? Now, respected sisters, if you look around us, all son-in-laws have died, or they're still living. Now, the mother-in-laws are not so bad, they don't kill off the son-in-laws. The son-in-laws are alive, and it is a responsibility of the son-in-law to provide for the daughter. And it is a responsibility in the light of the Sharia that the man must provide for the female. And this concept that if he dies, what happens? What we should be doing, that reorganizing and restructuring our social setup, so that if this happens, then the brothers, the sisters, the father, they must come together and financially help out that widow and financially help out that female lady who has lost her husband due to taqdeer and due to the circumstances. So that is by no means justified that the female must come out of the house and go into the lion's den of immorality. That does not mean that the female must come out and go in the lion's den of immodesty and go out where her chastity will be affected, where her dignity will be affected. The role Islam has given, which is the most important role, that she is the queen of the house, that she is the minister of finance, that she is the one preparing the budget, and she is the one that will bring up her children Islamically. If we look at the Greek and Roman history, that when the Greeks and the Romans were conquering the world, then their women folk were at home. No sooner they had their baths and their luxury and the comfort, then when they took out the women folk and they made the women folk go into luxury and comfort, then what happened? All the prisoners of war, the male prisoners of war, etc., and the female prisoners of war began to look after the children. And when they began to look after the children, then within a short period of time, because there was now loss of morality, there was loss of chastity, there was loss of dignity, then what happened? That the whole Roman Empire began to crush and fall and crumble. And those people who were trying to educate the children via the maids, etc., they realized that the education went into the wrong hands. The woman folk has got the most important role to bring up the children Islamically and to bring up the children with a way of culture and mannerism, so that the child can come up with a proper education system. Yeah, the question arises also that some of them say that no, we must have female doctors. You know, we must have female professionals so that when our daughters and our mothers are sick, that they can go there. Respected sisters, respected mothers, I would like to inform you that as personal experiences and also others have reported to us that when the wives were ready to deliver their babies and they phoned the Muslim doctors who went to study on the pretext that they will help out during these times, when they phoned around and said that, "Can you come and deliver the baby?" they said, "No, you know, this is a professional art and this is a science. We do not have time. You know, this happens at odd hours. How I as a lady can come out? How I as a lady doctor can leave my house and come out and deliver your baby?" As a lady, you went out to university, then you were not worried. As a lady, you went out to university to try and destroy your immodesty and dignity. I am not saying that every lady that goes to university destroys her dignity, but definitely we are saying that the colleges, the universities, today, in today's time, the moral levels, they are low. People are walking around half naked, they are forgetting to dress, and those are dens of sin. And also, why must a lady trouble herself and go through all the procedure when the end of the day she is going to become housewife? When the end of the day she is going to deliver babies? End of the day she is going to work in the house? End of the day she is going to care for her children? End of the day she is going to look after her children? Then why go and trouble yourself? Because Allah says, "La haraja fi deen." There is no difficulty in deen. When Allah has given us no difficulty in deen, then why put ourselves in difficulty? La yukallahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah does not give a person a burden or a load that he cannot carry. For example, the lady. When the lady, she experiences menstruation, then she does not have to perform her salah. And she does not have to fast. But she has to make qaza of her fast. But she does not make qaza of her salah. Can you imagine that if a lady has got menstruation period for 6 days, and then you have to take your witr, so 6 times 6, 36 salat, the lady will miss. Now, and if she is in the month of Ramadan, she will mix this 6 fast. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a deed yusra, a deed is easy. Now the deed is easy. Why? Because Allah has made us. Allah is our creator, Allah is our provider, Allah is our nourisher. So Allah is saying that now when the lady becomes pure, she will make the qaza of the fast. One qaza for one fast, one qaza. Not for the salah. Why? There is difficulty in making 36. So Allah has made the deed easy. Now when Allah has made the deed easy and given the male different responsibility and given the female different responsibility, then we should adhere to it. Respected sisters, we have got two types of cars. One car that you use on our normal road, and one car they use for racing, which they use in Kyalami, etc. Now if a person takes the local car and decides to go on the racing track, then that will be foolishness and that will be stupidity, because the normal car is not created to go onto the Kyalami road. And now if a person takes the racing car and comes on your local highway, they will arrest him. They will say, you cannot drive your car here. This car must be driven in the racing track. Similarly, Allah has given the man with certain qualities and resulting in certain responsibilities. Allah has given the female with certain qualities, with certain responsibilities. Now what is the chaos? That the female wants to do the man's work and the man wants to do the female's work. As a result, what we are getting today? In the light of freedom, unfortunately nudity. The man is taking advantage over the female, and to advertise one small car or to advertise one small product, he put one naked lady there. And the lady, she hasn't got no clothing practically on, she feels she is very free. This is Western concept of freedom. And Islam wants the lady to be dignified. Islam wants the lady to protect her chastity. Islam wants the lady that she must be the queen of the house. Islam wants the man must provide for the lady, not the lady must provide for the man. And generally we are finding also that the lady, when she goes out to work, can you imagine the hazards of going to work? First of all, the traffic. Secondly, the non-mahram contact. Thirdly, that going there and earning money in that haram situation and circumstances. And fourthly, the discarding of the parda, the discarding of the hijab. So respected ladies, before I answer the questions, I would like you to sincerely think about what I am saying. I do realize this is not the normal pattern of talk, but it is time for us to take stock. It is time for us to understand. Look around us and look at the wives of the ulama. Look at the children, the female children of the ulama. To what level of education do they send their children? And why they do that? Why? Because they have understood the deed of Islam. They realize that a certain education is enough. After that, the female has got a role to play from the house. And remember, definitely, that behind every successful man, there is a lady. There is a woman who is the driving force. These female sahabiyas, they were driving the sahabas to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they did not go out themselves. Yes, they told their husbands to go out. They told their nephews to go out. They told their children to go out. Similarly, we will say that the lady, she must think about this carefully. One is that go home and make one small research. That take all the laws, all the Quranic ayats about parda, put it down. Take all the hadiths about parda, put it down. Now look at the Quran and look at the hadith and say what Allah wants from us. Does Allah want us outside the house or does Allah want us inside the house? Does Allah want us to go outside and earn and destroy our chastity, or does Allah want us to protect our chastity? Then do a third experiment, that when Allah wants us inside, how much education we require. Then do something else, that just go and interview a lady who is working, and then take the salary, and then after that take the expenditures of the month, the travel expenditure, the telephone expenditure, the cell phone expenditure, the cosmetic expenditure for going outside, and the food expenditure for going outside, the shoe expenditure for going outside, the dress expenditure for going outside, and then tally it up and see and say, is it worth it going outside or is it better to stay at home? You will come to realize that what Islam wants us, what Islam wants the lady to do, that stay in the house, maintain the house, be the queen of the house, be the minister of finance in the house, and not be oppressed by the husband, because the husband must provide for the female. That is the role that Islam wants us, wants the female to do. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to understand deen and to practice deen. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillah. What is the position in a family-owned business where at the end of the year they distribute their profit share amongst the partners? Zakat is paid on this entire amount from the business. Once each partner receives the profit, does he still have to pay zakat on this as part of his personal assets? If zakat was paid from the business, then you do not have to pay individual zakat again. Woman in parda, is it permissible for her to go out and work with non-mahrams? It is not permissible to do that. It is noticed, woman going to Kabistan in parda, please advise. I've explained this over radio, that woman must not go to the Kabistan to visit the dead. If they want to make Isa alayhi sawab, they sit at home and they make dua for the dead. Allah Ta'ala is all knowing. He will record your Quran recitation and pass that to the deceased. Woman in parda, the eye portion is left open. Please advise the sunnat way. The sunnat most convenient way is that when the eyes are even covered. According to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the sahabiyas should only cover the entire body and they should leave only one eye open. However, in our time, that the parda has been created and designed in such a way that both eyes can be covered and you can see through the cloth. If a lady opens the eyes, leaves the eyes open because of failing eyesight, etc., then that will be permissible. However, that is a good, if a lady is at least covering the entire face and leaving the eyes open, then eventually, inshallah, she will cover everything. The best course is to cover everything, although it will be permissible to leave the eyes open. Are we allowed to brush our teeth with toothpaste while fasting? This is a repeated question. We are allowed to brush our teeth with toothpaste. However, the toothpaste must not go down the throat. If it goes down the throat, it will break the fast. Please understand. If it goes down the throat, it is definitely going to break the fast. Is farda faraz upon every woman or wajib? Farda is obligatory, faraz. You will see the ayats of Surah Nur, etc., and the numerous ahadith. Buy a book on the laws of farda. I have not written one yet. Inshallah, make do I write one book on the laws of farda. Is McDonald's halal, considering they display halal certificates? Presently, it is better to abstain from McDonald's because Sanha has not given the approval. So it is best to abstain from them. Do females need to be accompanied by a mahram if traveling from Johannesburg to Durban? Definitely they require a mahram to travel from Johannesburg to Durban. We are of the opinion when they go shopping, they must go with a mahram. Let alone from Lanesia to Johannesburg. You talk of Johannesburg to Durban. It is absolutely haram for them to go without a mahram from Johannesburg to Durban or Durban to Johannesburg. Last year I had an occasion at my place and someone had brought one of their utensils here. Today the utensil is still in my home and no one has come to claim it. I have no idea who it belongs to. Is it possible for me to give this utensil away to the poor? You make one announcement amongst your family circle and possibly think about who you invited and phone them up and tell them, listen, there is one utensil here and does it belong to you all? After you do this propagation and research for few days, then you wait for 3 months and then give it away in charity. If one fasts for the sixth roza in Shawwal, is it compulsory to fast the day after Eid in order to keep the sixth roza, or can one keep any 6 days in Shawwal? This is very important question and relevant question. That the six fast of Shawwal, you can keep it any time in Shawwal, and it need not be what you call repeated one after the other. You can keep one fast, then have one day break. Then keep one fast, have one day break. Or you can keep six in a row. Or you can keep two, then break. Then you can keep three, break. Some people, what they do, that after they eat, they start keeping the six fast. Then on the seventh day, they say, we are celebrating second Eid. Now that second Eid concept is not proven in Islam. If a Muslim lady comes to your door in Ramzan, complaining of difficulties, no food and money for lights and water, when going close to her, you get a smoke smell. But due to you feeling her sorry, in her situation, you give her money. Can this money be regarded as zakat? Not after you gave it. And in this case here, when you suspect that she is smoking, then you don't give your zakat to her. What you do, you tell her that bring your light account bill. Bring your invoice. What you call a statement. Bring your statement. And then you tell your husband that go and pay the statement or pay the invoice with zakat money. And tell the lady, listen, we are going to pay it, settle this. Otherwise, if you give her, after listening to her sad story, maybe she will go and buy cigarettes again. So it's highly advisable not to do that. I wish to know whether it is correct for the parents to force the young children to pray nafil salat and to read long, long rakats on big nights. These children are only about 8 or 9 and have not yet reached puberty. They are, however, punctual with all their farz salat. This is a good question also. That don't become so pious and do not put piety upon, stress piety upon your children. Be moderate. That they are making their farz salat, be happy. Yes, that if you want to make a lot of nafil salat, you go and do it. Yes, encourage them, make two rakat salat, read some durood sharif, and ask them in their big nights, that what do you want to do? Do you want to make namaz? Do you want to make some zikr? Do you want to listen to some lecture? Do you want to listen to some zikr tape? Or do you want to listen to some qiraat? Or do you want to sleep? Or what do you want to do? You want to make Quran tilawat? Okay, you make Quran tilawat. Don't force them. Let them make ibadat voluntarily, willingly. Don't put pressure on them. Because when you put pressure on them, the first opportunity they get to leave, they will leave that. Also, some children, nabalighs, are forced to make 5-6 khatams Quran during Ramzan. Is this correct? This is not correct. Do not force them. Do not make Quran recitation a punishment upon the child. Do not say to the child that, listen, you must read Surah Yasin, then we will give you breakfast. Do not make Quran a punishment upon anybody. Because the child, far as the child will be concerned, that I must read Surah Yasin, then I will get breakfast. That is wrong. Then how the child is going to read Surah Yasin? It will read it all wrong, quickly, slapdash. That is not correct. Yes, you must encourage the child. But this 5-6 khatams for a nabalig child, you are going to look for serious difficulties and problems. It is said that angels of Rahmat do not enter the house if a lady does not cover her head. What happens during the night? Since many do not sleep with scarves, what if you die during the night? Will the angels not come near you? The night, the lady, she should try to cover her hair. In the process, the scarf comes out, no problems. And inshallah, the angel of death, irrespective in whatever condition a person is, the lady, the angels of death will come. I was once told that if you do not wear a scarf while eating, then the shaitan sits on your head and partakes on your food. Is this true? This is not true. I do not know where they got the shaitan sitting on your head. However, this is contrary to the Sharia and this is contrary to the spirit of Islam. You must cover your head and partake of me. I know that if you don't recite Bismillah, then shaitan partakes of the food. Yes, you are correct there. Can you borrow money and go for Hajj? Example, if cost of Hajj is 20,000 and you got 15,000. Can you borrow the 5,000? You may borrow the 5,000 if you are in a position to pay it back. No use borrowing the money and then you go to the person and tell him make maaf when you're going for Hajj. So that person thinks, oh, perhaps you came to make maaf. Meanwhile, in your mind, you are making maaf of the 5,000. No, that is not right. You go, and if you have to borrow the 5,000, you must have a collateral. Collateral means that you must have some person. Say you borrow the 5,000 and you go and die there. Then you must have some person that he will pay the 5,000 on your behalf. If you got that some person, then it is permissible to borrow the 5,000. Normally, can a girl trim her hair? Because probably she has split ends or new hair doesn't grow. The nabalig child, the nabalig female child, may be allowed to trim the hair because of the split hair, not the balig child. Once the female becomes balig, then it is not permissible to cut, trim the hair. A room of permissibility exists for the nabalig female child. If you want to make a sadaqah of blood, is slaughter of children allowed? Or slaughter of chicken allowed? Sadaqah, if you want to make a sadaqah of blood, is the slaughter of chicken allowed? Slaughter, sadaqah of blood. Oh, so sometimes what happens, the two things here. One is the ladies make a vow that they would make such a sadaqah. And sometimes what happens that amils, those people who deal in tawis, etc., who are having a field day at the moment, and who are unfortunately taking the Muslims for a ride, especially the ladies, and make us cut a, make the ladies cut a black cows and white sheep and white goats and black fowl and white fowl, and funny thing is how they make them do. Unfortunately, we should abstain from this. We should not indulge in this blood sacrifice. There is no blood sacrifice in Islam. In Salatul Tasbih, you forget to read Takbir in one posture. You remember when you are already finished with the next posture. Your Salat is valid. You should not make any sujda so. When performing Hajj Tamattu, is it compulsory to make Qurbani at home? Leave money for the family to make Qurbani on your behalf at home. This is a very good question. I wish it came on the air when I was there now. Understand this. That tamattu hajj means that you are making ihram wudu. You are making ihram, and then with that one ihram you make umrah. You come out of the ihram. Then with the next ihram you make the hajj. For the person who is making tamattu, the dam e shukr is wajib. Now the dam e shukr, we generally, because we are from India, Pakistan, we call it qurbani. So the dam e shukr has to be made in Makkah or Mina, that means in the boundaries of the Haram, because that will take you out of the condition of Ihram. Now the second Qurbani that you're talking of, that is if you are a person, you are in Makkah and you are going to be Muqeem, meaning you are not a traveler. Now there you have to make a Qurbani, the normal Qurbani that you make when you are at home. So what you generally do, that before going for Hajj, you leave money in South Africa, so that at the time of Ayyam al-Nahr, that the days of sacrifice, they make the Qurbani for you in South Africa. That is permissible. Is it permissible for a woman to make Nafil Tawaf without her mahram? Wali, I have stated that this is not right. In our age, this is definitely not right because of the congestion, because it is busy. There is pushing, there is pulling, there is touching, and there is too many un-Islamic activities going along when you do not have a mihram. You should avoid doing this. Although there is some room for permissibility if your mihram is in the mataf area. Is it acceptable to use medication to manipulate the menstrual cycle so that all the fast can be kept during Ramadan? A common practice during Hajj and Umrah. As far as medication to control the menstruation flow in Ramadan is concerned, that I am of the opinion that this should not be done. Because Allah has created the female with certain restrictions. And one of the restrictions is that the female has to let out certain amount of blood. Now this is the natural order of Allah. This is the natural creation of Allah. And Allah has created that. Now when you interfere with that, they look for trouble. Generally, most times, when the ladies interfere with this by a medication, then they have so much complication, it is unreal. And there is no piety that if you take the tablet and you fast, you'll get more sawab. In fact, you will be doing something against the creative order of Allah. So we say, do not use that medication. However, if a lady used the medication and she stopped the blood and she fasted, then the fast is valid. In Hajj and Umrah, the situation is different, and if there is a flight and that flight cannot be cancelled or postponed, then it will be permissible to take medication and manipulate the menstruation flow. And again, most of the ladies who do that, they have difficulty after that. You retire and get the pension money. With that money you want to dig a well for Isa alayhi salam. Yes, you can do that. It is permissible. You will get reward. Allah Ta'ala will reward you, and Allah Ta'ala will reward the person or persons from whom you are making that sadqa jariyah or you are digging that well for. Can a woman read Fajr Salat 20-25 minutes before Azan? During the month of Ramadan, the law will be different. Understand this, that Subah Sadiq starts, Fajr starts, Tahajjud ends, Isha ends, fasting starts. I'll repeat that again. Subah Sadiq. Let us say Subah Sadiq is 3:40. When 3:40 strikes, that means now you cannot make Isha. Now you cannot make Tahajjud. 3:41, fasting started. Fajr started. Now, looking at the calendar, you must look that after Subah Sadiq, you can make your Fajr, irrespective of the Azan or not. You do not have to worry about the Azan or not. Can 6 Shawwal fast be counted as Qaza fast and Shawwal fast at the same time? No, this cannot be counted like that. I have tried to look for this masala in detail. I could not find this. And in most of the books that I am looking, they are saying that the Shawwal fast is different and the Qaza fast is different. And you should make your Qaza fast first, then you make your Shawwal, because Shawwal fast is Nafil. And Qaza is superior than Nafil. With the pension money, can you pay Zakat, Qurbani, Sadqa, Lilla, retired pension money? When you get your pension money, when the pension money you get it, and now you can do what you want to do. You can give it out, make a sacrifice with it. You can give it out as Sadqa. You can give it out as Lilla. You can give Zakat on it when it is 1 year old with you. So you can give whatever you can do with it, you want to do, you can do with it. However, remember, Sadaqah. Sadaqah, we have got one Arabic Sadaqah and we got one Indian Sadaqah. And we got Sadaqah e Bala. Now everybody knows Sadaqah e Bala. That what happens, that I can't find any proof for this, that they take some food and they touch your head and toes and they touch your body, and that means maybe salt or rice or oil, and as soon as someone comes at the door, they give it. They say Sadaqah e Bala. Now this I cannot see where it is, where it comes from. But what you can do, yes, some poor person comes, you give some Sadaqah, Ya Allah, make my child better. Ya Allah, make me better. That is permissible. We sold our house. With that money, can we go for Hajj or Umrah? Yes, you can go definitely for Hajj and Umrah, or Hajj or Umrah, and you can go and perform your obligation. Then you make niyat reading 2 units of Tarawih Salah. Example, after Salam, say Allahu Akbar and start. Can you make 1 niyat regarding 2 units of Tarawih Salah? Understand this about Tarawih Salah. That Tarawih Salah, and especially the ladies can take advantage of this, that in the masjid, generally after 2 rakats, we make 1 salam. It is written very clearly in Fatwa Mahmudiyah, if I'm not mistaken, if memory serves me right, volume 2, page 351. And Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi quotes from another fatwa kitab called Kabiri, that a person can make Tarawih Salat in the units of 2, 4, 6, 8. However, 10 is makruh. Meaning that the ladies can take advantage over this. That after maybe 4 rakats, they can make 1 salam. After 6 rakats, they can make 1 salam. Or after 8 rakats, make 1 salam. However, 10, there is some detachment in it. Explain the hijab for the 5 days of Hajj, the cloth touching the face. The hijab, remember that when the lady is in hijab, then she wants to cover herself in the 5 days. And this also is a very good proof that the ladies must be always in hijab. And the men must cover their head all the time. The man, when he goes into ihram, then the symbol that he is in ihram lies in the fact that his head is open. That means in all other circumstances he must cover the head. The lady, the symbol that she is in ihram, the symbol is that her face must be open. That means in all other circumstances her face must be covered. She's given the concession in ihram that her face must be open. However, if the lady wants to cover her face, then what she can do is to buy a golfer's cap. And that's the only faida of that cap or that game. She buy a golfer's cap and she put a cloth over the golfer's cap so that the cloth does not touch her face. In this way she'll be able to maintain her strict farada consciousness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward. Here we must also note that inshallah, from the 1st of Zil Hajj, if you are in Makkah al-Mukarramah, then the Hilton Jamaat Khana, 1st of Zil Hajj, I will be there addressing from 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. I'll be talking about the Hajj, the Ihram, and the history of Kaaba and the Zamzam, and answering your questions, and those who want to walk with us will register there. 1st Zil Hajj, 3rd Zil Hajj, 5, 6, 7 Zil Hajj. Can Tarawih Salat be performed qaza? If not, then what should be done? Understand the rule that there is qaza for faraz and there is qaza for wajib. There is no qaza for sunnah. But there is qaza for nafil when the nafil has started. The nafil started, and while you were making the 2 rakats of nafil, you broke it, or it became invalidated. Now to make qaza for the nafil that has started, you have to do it. But there is no qaza for sunnah. So if you miss the tarawih, there is no qaza for it. You must make tawbah, make istighfar, and seek the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are the recipients of zakat, lillah, and sadaqah? Do they have to be Muslim? Specific question. Lillah can be given to Muslim and non-Muslim. Sadaqah can be given to Muslim, non-Muslim, unless specified. Zakat can only be given to Muslim. If a woman wants to go for second Nafil Hajj, she is separated from her husband, but not divorced, can she go without his permission? She should not go without his permission. She should try to reconcile. She should try to reconcile, and with his permission, she should go with some other mihram if possible. Not if possible, yes, necessary to go with another mihram. She cannot go alone. After giving birth, does a woman have to sit in the house till she has a bath? According to the Sharia, what is the law? This is the important question. That after a woman has given birth, that she is allowed to go out of the house. But remember, she must go out in parda. She must go out in hijab. She is allowed to go out and visit. She is allowed to go out where she was normally.